This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Teamwork is our subject today, and it could just be that you are part of a team. Does it work well, or does it have some problems? What does it take to make a good team? What about leaders? Are they really necessary? What kind of a leader? How does the individual fit into the structure of a team? These are all questions we're going to be looking at today as we hear again from Gordon and Rosemary. In most parts of your life, you actually are experiencing and participating in some form of teamwork at perhaps its most basic levels.
We're a team in a sense as a married couple, but we've also had experience of being teams in families, in our jobs. Maybe some of you will have shared an apartment and you've had to be a team there, sometimes with several people, in things that you might be involved in church, even in recreational teams such as football teams, and we get very excited about football teams and sports teams without thinking this has anything to do, perhaps, with what we're doing as Christians, and yet it does.
So, is a team just a collection of individuals that happen to be working or living together? Is it just a collection of people who have perhaps some similar goals? Is there something special about having a group of people assigned to a project?
We use the word synergy, which means that when two people or two ideas or two things come together, they multiply each other. Sometimes when you are given a medicine, it says do not take if you're taking alcohol. And the reason is that synergy occurs, that the effect of that drug or medicine would be greatly enhanced by another medicine or by alcohol. And when two people work together, the sum total of their efforts is greater than just two people could produce, because one triggers the other in their thinking and one has a skill that the other doesn't. One particular example I use is when you're building a wall, somebody might be really good at the straight bits but find difficulty building the corners. And if another person is good at the corners but finds building the long lengths difficult to keep straight, together they'll build better walls faster. That's synergy, that's specialization.
Okay. So we have an assortment of skills. We have synergy. But what does it take for these skills to blend together into a superb finished product? Is there any one ingredient that can pull the individuals and their individual skills together into an effective unit?
Perhaps the key word in teamwork is communication, communication, communication. In marriage, we say communication is the key. When communication breaks down, then the teamwork breaks down.
We've both seen good and effective teams that function well together, and we've seen other teams where there is friction and less effectiveness. What are the different forms of team organization? And what about leadership? There are many different kinds of leadership. Which leadership model is most effective in motivating a successful team?
I think the first models of industrialization, which was based on the work of a man named Taylor, was called hierarchical. And the man at the top is the man with the brains. He knows. And the man at the bottom needs to be told what to do. And that's really how perhaps early industrialization like Ford of America built their empires. Today, we realize if you want to beat that, if you want to do better, you've got to value every single person. You say even the guy at the bottom of the heap has got ideas and can do things that are essential to the outcome. And it's now known that listening to one another, working together, valuing all people on the project produces better results than a hierarchical model. When the Japanese were making better cars than Western cars, I think some 60 to 70% of their workforce was in teams, and maybe only half to 1% in Western economies. When that car comes down the assembly line, am I only responsible for putting my bolts onto the place where they go? Or do I keep my eyes open for every aspect and feel responsible for the total quality? My son is actually a management consultant and went into a factory to help them move towards a teamwork who were making garments. And at that stage, in a sewing workshop, each lady produced a different garment, and they got paid piecework. In other words, the more shirts they made, the more money they got. So they were rather shocked at the idea of going to teamwork, because the slower people would slow you up. What they found in practice was that because they helped one another, let me help and show you how to put the sleeves on a quicker way, or let me help you and show you how to sew collars. And when somebody was tired or not too well, they would cover for them. They actually, as a whole workshop, produced more shirts than they were producing before. And the system worked well. And cooperation and people working together is part of God's plan, I think.
Okay. So that's leadership and teamwork in the world of business, and it works. And we can understand those differences. But what about in Christian work? Can we transfer these models into church work or the work of the cross-cultural Christian team?
I think there has been a tendency, certainly in some churches and perhaps in certain denominations, to again operate from a hierarchical model, as in industry, where the clergyman has been the cork in the bottle, that the buck has stopped at the clergy, which has tended to mean that the rest of the congregation have not been involved. As obviously, if you have a large church, this is very wasteful of both time and energy. But if you involve the rest, the lay people, in working in teams, perhaps within the congregation, then things really begin to happen and you save a lot of time and energy.
I know by personality that I'm the more directive sort of person. So when I was young and I ran a team, I used to think I was the team leader because I knew more. When I really learned a hard lesson that every person in the team can teach me something, and I much more now consult and ask, and delighted really to have the burden come off me of having to do everything and be everything. And I feel that we share the responsibility.
So far, we've touched on communication as being an essential ingredient and practice skill of a good team, also synergy and cooperation instead of competition. This all kind of sounds like democracy, doesn't it? Which sounds good. But how does leadership fit into this? We've mentioned it briefly, but there must be more to that subject.
I don't think democracy in any way takes power away from a leader. I mean, I work in teams and we very much respect our leader, but we feel more able to help him to help us to help him to for the total task when we're all sharing together. So I would hope that teams where there's more consultation, more involvement, still respect leadership and are fully supporting their leader. And yes, we do need someone to lead a team. A team without a leader is not going to function very well.
I think it depends on the type of leadership that you've got in mind. What type of leader are we talking about? From the democratic type of leader to the opposite end of the scale, where you have the leader who is much more dominant, much more do my thing, not shared decision-making process. And I think in a team, the emphasis must be on consensus.
We're thinking about teamwork today and some of the elements that go into making a good team and a smoothly functioning and effective team. But I wonder, where did it all begin? Is the idea of teamwork one of those modern, brilliant, motivational developments? Or is there some old and basic history to this concept? How does the idea of teamwork fit in with our lives as Christians?
I like to think, if I get back to the basis of the Christian faith, that Jesus summed it up when he said the great commandment was to love God and to love one another. The former, we try our best, but God is very forgiving and we can get up and try again. The latter part is probably the most difficult thing we're ever called on to do, and that is to live in fellowship with other Christians, those whom God loves. Relationship is at the heart of the gospel message. Paul Tunier, the Christian philosopher, said there's two things that you can't do alone. One is to be married, and the other is to be a Christian. The Christian life is a calling to living in relationship with other Christians. It's not meant to be lived alone. It doesn't matter whether we're overseas workers or in our own countries in the local church. Often it seems more comfortable to go it alone, but that's not necessarily God's ways. It can be a painful route to live and work with others. but in the end, we'll come out being more the people God wants us to be.
We've been thinking today with Gordon and Rosemary about teamwork, what makes a good, smoothly functioning and effective team, how the individual fits in, the kind of leader that is effective with a team. And next week, our special guests will be back with us as we look deeper into this subject of teamwork.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.